your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug, I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. I had the same faith, but you gotta change cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug, I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug, I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
That's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is another blessed day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have lots of reason to be glad. One is, if you didn't know it, while you're alive and you're serving God, you have gifts piling up in heaven. And from, you know, I'm researching that, but I believe that's going to be something you throw back at God, give back to God in thanksgiving for him giving you the opportunity. That's the blessedness of being able to, the longer you live on earth and serve God, that's more you have to give God. And that's an aspect that I think has gotten lost in the translation. But amen, giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, amen, the Lord God Jehovah, who is God and King over all, and the blessed Holy Ghost, our comforter, our guide, our keeper, amen. You know, it's just thanking God for this day, amen. You know, I look at what's going on in the world, and I'm not surprised, but God has already applied a solution. Amen. But anyway, let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for yet another blessed day, a day that you have given us, brand new, never been used before, and we thank you for it. Because of you, we have this day. It is you that has kept us, Lord. Amen. Because the enemy didn't succeed against us, doesn't mean he didn't try, but we know that he failed. because you're the God that never sleeps nor slumber. And we thank you that you have taken us as your children, those of us that have accepted Jesus as Savior. Father God, we're asking right now that you would continue to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding more so that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you have made available to us. Father, bless today, amen, that we will be rooted and grounded in love with a full understanding of his length, width, breadth, depth, and height. Father, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out, to be fruitful in every good work, and to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would touch the heart of the bereaved and those that have suffered loss over these days. Amen, Lord God. Amen, that you would comfort them and strengthen them with might. Amen. Help them to understand, Lord, that you're the healer. Amen. You didn't send disaster. Amen. But you will heal those that have suffered disaster. Amen. Father God, I ask you, bless them to know that there is a way for them to be protected in you. Amen. They just have to lend themselves, yield themselves to you for you to give them the revelation. Father God, we're asking that you remember the saints in the down and all the creation down in Australia, Lord, that are being drenched in rain yet still. Amen. But these are the end of days. So, Father God, even down there, I ask that you would strengthen them with might in their inner man. Bless them with the revelation they need going forward. Father, we're asking throughout the world, there are many disasters going on. We just ask that you reach out, touch, bless, heal, and deliver. Father, right now I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people the will of your word, the revelation of your word. I want it to be all of you and none of me, and I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we continuing on the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, and I'm going to read that right quick because it's essential. You know, I've learned, you know, by experience in over 45 years that a lot of people read the Bible. They can quote it, but if you ask them to apply it, it becomes a different issue, and they assume that's only the pastor's job. That is his job, but not him alone. You are. The Bible tells us in Timothy to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word. Now, that's not an option. That's not a suggestion. You know, the fact that it just tells you right off, study. It don't say if you have time or you feel like it or maybe if you think it's important. Because God went through a lot of pain, a lot of patience to have the Bible organized. And it has been fought over. You know, I find people, they like to give a lot out or they like to waste time arguing over the changes. The changes, if they don't disconnect you from God, they're irrelevant. If they connect you with God, they're important. And the one thing about it, through all the different, I have a variety of Bibles over various years, for whatever reason, we don't get it clearly, and that's by design, okay? Because when it comes to, like, you hear the term wait on the Lord, that's exactly what it means. It's not wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord. There's a distinct difference in them words. And that means you sit somewhere, you got to stop and give him some time. God realized you got to get out and go make a living and you got bills to pay and all that because this is the system we live in. But at the same time, you'd be surprised with giving him 3 minutes of praise a day. In quietness, in prayer, you, all of us, you know, we're not limited to having to pray at a specific time, at a specific place, in a specific direction. We have a 24/7 God, and we can pray anytime, any way, anywhere, for anybody. He has given us authority over the government. We think the government has the authority, but it's the prayers of the righteous that makes the power. And that's why this life is going on. Okay, so now you want to know, what does that have to do with the fruit of the Spirit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is about your behavior. God is not going to reward bad behavior. I mean, that's just common. Parents don't do that. Most parents. I know my parents didn't. If you didn't act right, well, you knew that they disapproved of your action. And I'm glad God don't move as fast as my parents did. I mean, you didn't get like days to get it together. It was like, come here, boy, put your pants down. Bam, pow. Okay, daddy, I got it. But, you know, I say this about me. I may have gotten more than one whooping, but I never got whooped for the same thing twice. Amen. Praise God for that. Okay, so we're talking about the benefit of the fruit of the Spirit. So let's what it's supposed to do, or what we are supposed to become. This is an expectation. This wasn't a suggestion by Paul. He said, well, you know, I think I'll just throw this in here to, you know, make their life a little interesting. No, God oversaw this. I believe in 2 Peter 2:19, it makes you to know that God oversaw the Bible. It wasn't, it says it's not a private interpretation. It's critical. I go back to in the book of Leviticus, in the Old Testament, when God was first organizing the children of Israel and the priesthood, and Moses' nephew, who were authorized priests, Nadab and Abihu, decided they was going to make an offering at a specific different time at a specific different location other than the one that had been authorized by God. They think, I'm a priest, I can do this, right? We know what to do. Then the modern area, soon as they lit the fire, fire dropped out of heaven and fried them alive. Now think about that. Two honest young men, fathers I know, I've never heard anything contrary. They light up they're going to set up an altar, and the Bible called it a strange fire, meaning that God hadn't authorized it. That's the basis of it. Okay, pray for me. All right, so it's for people to assume any type of behavior is acceptable to God is, in a word, ludicrous. I mean, you're dealing with an omniscient. I mean, remember the platform of training day is in 1 John 3:2. We shall be like him. And you got to go back and look at all the supernatural feasts Jesus did before and after his resurrection. And we're going to be given that capability. I mean, you got to put all the pieces together. And above all, you don't just have to take my word for it. Go and ask God. Okay? Go and ask God. Go and ask God. That's what you always, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's exactly what that means. So let's read this anyway. Matter of fact, I want to go through, because we're going into, I would say, the gentler part of the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to see what the opposition was. In verse 5, Galatians 5:16, it said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay? But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh. Now, this is what the fruit of the Spirit works against. This is what the Holy Ghost in you works against, to get you away from. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, love conquers those, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, which is we're going to be a focal point today, variance, emulations, wrath, another focal point, strife, another focal point, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. they have. Now look what it says. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. How do you put the nail in? You nail, you make nails out of the word of God. That's what nails it down. Okay? Now, today we just got through talking about long suffering and patience. And that covers a lot of territory. If you've been watching these events with these mass shootings, them are obviously not people that engage in long suffering. They are people that don't engage in love. They don't have no peace, and they don't give no joy. I mean, all those activities, you can go back and you can link every evil event you see on TV every day can be linked to two commandments that Jesus gave, Matthew 22, 37-39, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor is everybody on the planet, okay? This is what we're called to do. See, there's a way to get everything done, you know, and it's sad that what people... Well, I haven't heard whether or not this young man say he a Christian or not or whatever his issues is, but this is, so we done did long-suffering, so today we're talking about gentleness. Gentleness. And, you know, just looking here, the Greek word for that is Christodes. And it's talking about moral excellence. Now, with Christians, your morals have to be based on the Word of God. Now, why is this in the list? If this was common in most people thinking, I don't think Paul would have had to have added this. But, you know, there are some cultures, I know right now, you'll know right now when I tell you, that beating your wife is permissible. And if she wants a divorce, you can kill her. That's clearly not gentleness. Now, you have to understand that these people back during that time in Galatia, outside of God, that's what you had to contend with. You know, it's just almost like you almost go anywhere in the world and they recognize the man is the head. You know, other than the mythological Amazon woman, which, you know, if you don't know what Tarzan and the Amazons is about, you won't know. Y'all, some of y'all are just too young for that. Other than that, for in general, and that's a norm. That's a norm. That does not mean he ruled over her, but that's another issue. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Because, you know, I really think sometime when God split the Adam, he split Adam, That part of gentleness is more so on the female side. So that's why they tell us, men, you got to get in touch with your female side, because there's a time and a place for everything. And this is another reason why God introduced birth. God could have planted us like seeds and grew up out of the ground just like everything else. But he have a whole different program because the process, okay, remember, this is preparation for an eternal journey, not just to get to the next phase. The next phase, you know, I mean, it's life part two. This is for long past that. Life part two is 1,000 years. Think about that. Think about how old you are and how long you think you've been here, and then connect, look at that in light of 1,000 years. The difference is the caliber of your skill set, your mindset, your power control is going to be beyond your imagination. You literally have to get there to really understand it. People that have died now understand what all that was about. Because it seemed like, think about this. You would think the Bible would be thinner. If it, based on most people common thinking, the Bible should only have like maybe 150 pages at most. But that ain't the case, because you got in the Old Testament, you got a lot of verbal. If you want to hear God talk, and God is very vocal in the Old Testament. He's very active in the Old Testament. And you got to be prayerful when you read it. Like, never read the Bible without praying. Never. Take a few seconds. Just say, Lord, bless me and give me the revelation you desire me to have in Jesus' name. That changes everything. That changes everything. All right, so what are we talking about? We're talking about gentleness. We're talking about our approach to a relationship, approach to a situation. You know, the Bible is it deals, like I said, when you read through it, you find it always deal with children and marriage and your neighbor. I've been looking for something here. I hate to give up my notes, but anyway, how you raise a family? You know, a lot of what goes on right now, again, is in direct relation to how these people have been raised, okay? And it really is impactful, okay? Y'all have the problem. I'm looking up something here. Okay. Ephesians 6:4. Okay. You know, I mean, with children, there's a process. You know, I have 5 children, and when they're growing up, naturally, you're preparing them just like we prepare children for adulthood. God is preparing us for life as a ruler, as a priest. I don't think, based on that fact, that I don't see anything in the Bible that changes that at any time in history, tells me that what I see is what is. And until somebody get a revelation, because they would have to, I mean, there's a lot to the Bible. I mean, it was written in basically 3 different languages, and very few people understand those, and then putting the pieces have to fit. You know, in Isaiah 28, it said line upon line, precept upon precept. It's got to connect to the whole picture, you know. And a lot of times people try to force fit stuff. But think about this. Here he talks about in Ephesians 6:4, he says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You can't do that without knowledge of the Word of God. Because, again, bringing them up in that fashion is really preparing them for eternal life. You know, this is why the Bible tells us not to be changed by the renewing of your mind, which means your mind has to be renewed to conform to what the Word of God says. And that the reasoning before that, again, relates to being appointed into the royal priesthood, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And I know during 1,000 years. During 1,000 years, you're going to have 2 classes of humans. But the Christian class that leaves with the rapture will have been changed, made incorruptible. We'll have a glorified body, Colossians 3:21, a body that isn't limited to, as it is now. Gravity won't have control over you as it do now. You know, that's tremendous power. That's tremendous power. It's a video on YouTube by Chuck Misler, Beyond Space and Time. It ain't what people think it is. He was trying to, before he passed away, to convey the same message, but he was adding more of the research that he'd done with technology over time to try to draw a picture that we are dealing with something that is far off the scale of what we think. I mean, you take the term infinity. He said that was a term the scientists hate, because every time they think they're at the end of something, they see a door. And the closer they get to it, the door gets bigger, and there is no end. That's because there is no end to God, and God wants us to realize that. He can only let us incrementally have access to so much information and power. I mean, again, why do we get to drive cars and Paul didn't? Paul walked everywhere, some 2,000 miles. We get in a car, plane, go to the airport, get on the plane, be there in an hour. See, so, but why? They were, obviously, if we're reading writings that they wrote, their intellect capability was equal to ours. We're studying what they did, what they wrote, what they got from God. And then we take it, the most we have done is develop some commentary because we've had time to research. We have time, a longitudinal study to look at it and analyze it. All right. So gentleness is a behavior because you're going to, as you know, if you've been alive any time, especially if you, you know, over 20, people that are the opposite. Why? Because you have to keep being and constantly mindful that you wield power over the spiritual realm, over, you know, not being overly sensitive to evil that people do. That's why the Bible says don't return evil for evil. Okay? Why? Because one, anybody that has a problem with you have a problem with God. They may not know it, but there's a consequence that goes with it. And the devil is so evil that he will trick people into doing something evil against a Christian. But because he know they've done evil against the Christian, they'll go back and dog them out. I mean, that's the deep part. They don't realize they've been abused by him like that until they wind up. How I wind up in jail? Well, you know what? You proved yourself to be an idiot by submitting to him. All right, let's run through. Okay, I want you to understand that gentleness is, it's like I said, the way I have to, you know, I have, by my nature, naturally for me, my natural person can come off and seeming mean, because it's a term for it. I just can't think of it right now. But I remember I had a coworker that these particular situations he spoke of, the individual, that law enforcement is a different area. Like I say, right off the bat, depending on what my time, we have to consider time element. Okay, and a safety. And then there's a lot of things that people don't realize that goes into making a decision. So it seemed like I was like quick tempered. No, I didn't have time. When I have time, I'll take time. When I don't have time, I won't. But that doesn't apply in my home. And it's really remarkable to me because, like I said, I used to say what was on my mind till God told me I didn't have the right to do that. It had to be at the right time, at the right tone, and particularly because when you're talking about talking to his daughter, this is why all this is constructed. God could have made a planet with all males, just like he got all male angels. He could have did the same thing. He could have did an asexual thing, you know, but he didn't because he's thinking he wants children like him. And we're learning to fly that, but we have to get this experience in order to reach that goal. You can't be long-suffering unless you got something to long-suffer for. You can't do love unless you got to have a reason to love somebody, really particularly that you can't love or don't want to be loved or is unlovely. See, because you're going to have to deal with those kind of people. All right, so let's look at some commentary by some people that have gone through this thing. We're going to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, and let's see who we got talking here. See, you know what? It starts out right good. See, now think about this. This was written 3,000 years ago, roughly about 33,000 years ago. Now, look at what he is saying in verse 1 of Proverbs 15. See, because relationships were just the same as they are now. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. You know, some of y'all that's been listening to me for a while, you know I shared how God got on me 40-some years ago, I have to speak to his daughter. Period. It was not, he was not going to negotiate. He wasn't taking no excuses. Because, you know what, I didn't have no argument. I mean, I could, you know, what do you do with a good person? You know, and even when they're not good. Well, God, there are times when dealing with people that weren't good. And God was just telling me, shut up. Because, one, there's other activity going on. You know, it's sad when you run across a young man that don't want to become a Christian because of his experiences in going to church, you know, and not being a Christian, and people looking down on him and talking to him as though he was something low. People are very conscious of that, and churches have to be very conscious of that. I remember them mean-looking ushers, you know, but they're not. The kingdom of God is always priority. And even now, I remember the first time I saw somebody come into church with a hat on. Now, we all grew up being raised knowing, that's in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians, that a man shall not enter into the temple with his head covered. But then if you grew up without a father and a mother that's out of Christ, you don't know this, and you don't see the difference. So, you know, we have an immediate standing order. Don't offend them. Did the Bible say a brother offended is harder won than a fortified city? See, so again, here comes the gentleness. We don't even mention to him or them about the issue of what the Bible said. One, they don't have that connection. And that's the challenge with ministering to people that I would say haven't been reached by prayer. See, whenever you succeed in winning someone in Christ, you're actually pouring water on a seed that's been planted. One way or another, somebody done planted a seed. When they come to Christ, that wasn't the first, you weren't the first person, believe me. Because if you think back for your own life, how many times somebody had to reach out to you before you started, before you finally said, okay, I'm gonna go do this. Because, I understand what it is in that word. Okay, let's read another one. Listen to this, man. It said, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of a fool gushes folly. See, this is just life. This will make life easier for you. People will remember that. They always remember. I've had some of the meanest, violent, most. I've had people, when you have a person that's violent in an environment like a jail, and they say, I want to talk to overall. Why? Because I talk to them with respect. And respect is powerful. And all this is connected. This is our lifestyle. It's sad. I remember I was at this park, little city park, on my way to work, just stopped in, doing bus change. And I'm seeing this lady sitting there. I don't know if she was a real human or not. You know, but I'm seeing this. She had a big old coffee table-sized Bible. Now, I'm thinking, with all the focus, all the bad kids running around, that if I go up to her and share how God has brought a change in my life, she'd be happy to know that. Man, I was wondering why that Bible didn't burn her. But, you know, now I've since learned that there are a lot of mentally ill people out there. For a long time, they didn't believe there were mentally ill people in the church, but they are. Amen. And you probably ran across them. Never hold God responsible for something people do. But in verse 15:1, and that was right. Now I want to go to Proverbs 25:15. Just showing an analysis that God, what they say, Jesus the same yesterday to today and forevermore. It says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. When they say, sticks and bricks will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, there are more people, I bet you there's more people in prison from something somebody said than it is from something that somebody threw at somebody. Or even swung at somebody. You know, that mouth is as what the word said, a two-edged sword. They have the power of life and death. And you have to, as with anything, prepare yourself. When you know the people you work around. There's some people you work around, you wonder why they keep them. You know, they mean. Now, you know, I remember working at the front desk, and at the front desk, it can be chaotic at times. You have 15 things going on at once, you know. And, you know, people call in. They looking for their relatives. It's sad that they have to call a jail looking for somebody that has been gone for 2 or 3 days. But you have to be, think about it. My mindset would be, what if that was one of my relatives? How would I act? What if it was a relative particularly that I like? And that became the platform for how I dealt with people. Now, mind you, if you do not think this makes sense, what will happen is, on the other end, Satan, knowing that your behavior opens the door for him. See, that's the wonder, if nothing else. Continued, unrepented practice of meanness, being wrathful unnecessarily based on what God thinks. If you got a mental problem, then you maybe need to go talk to a psychiatrist, and you may have to get on some drugs because your chemistry may have been thrown off by something you ate in the past and never recovered. There's so many underlying issues I've learned with people. I've met people that have been sexually abused by their parents. So, you know, that will make you angry. That'll make you hate the world. So, but there's a reason, you know, there's some people that it amazed me. We call them bipolar now. But there's an underlying cause. But even in that case, when you speak gently toward them, when you are kind toward them, that tends to soften their mindset, that toward you, if nothing else. And there's a balance. But like I said, again, you are a wielder of power. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2:4 to pray for those in authority. Think about that. He's saying, listen, I'm giving y'all the ability to pray and affect how the government is run. Okay? That's tremendous power. We think that because most people visualize, because they haven't been taught in the Word, they think of this, when you talk about prayer, they think that you're only talking about our Father who art in heaven. No. This is talking about going to the throne of God, and you can access it anywhere on the planet, and making a request. No. I mean, commanding angelic hosts to take on certain tasks in order to get a certain situation resolved. That's tremendous. And right now, everything that's wrong that you can think of that's going on with the government is simply the lack of prayer. And the lack is from not having enough people who pray and qualify to pray. God is not going to reward bad behavior. And as we are moving on in time, I've heard this from more than one man of God. This is a separation. This ain't the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You got to really take this serious now. You really do. This is critical time. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at all these folks just randomly. This man goes shoot up a place because he say he has a sex addiction. What? So if he close all the places that he in his addiction, well, he going to be in prison with that addiction and see how much, you know. But even at that, still, why didn't he come to Christ? Because he wanted to do his own thing. That's pretty much it. And that's, again, what the fruit of the Spirit is to get you to doing God's thing instead of your own thing. Okay? All right, let's move on. Let's go to James 1:19. Let's listen to it. No, we in the Old Testament. Let's stay over there for a minute, just a minute. I want to go to Ecclesiastes. This is Solomon who wrote Ecclesiastes, for those of you that may not know. He's quite a brilliant young man. College educated at the finest schools. And it says, Ecclesiastes 5:1-2, says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Be not quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. Okay, even though that's really relating to another issue, the thing that I'm looking at there is do not be quick with your mouth. And that even at that, one of the things about speaking and not saying immediately what comes up in your head. And remember, Satan can plant thoughts, or your local demon can plant thoughts in your mind, and they say it in first person. They'll say, I. Okay, where have I heard that at? If you read in, what is it, the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, I will. That's the trick they get on people. And then they'll try to justify it by identifying things in the character of the person that says you don't have to be gentle with them because, see. And again, what is at the same time, they're looking to open a door. How long does it take for them to introduce cancer? How long does it take for them to block a financial blessing that you need or delay it, see, or won't? How long does it take? All you need is an open door and an opportunity, and most Christians go, you know, it's a process of remembering to ask God for forgiveness every day for little silly stuff we do. But those are doors that demons walk through. That's why they do that. We have to be consistently conscious of who we are and what the ground rules are. Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we call God a liar. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For me not to confess little silly stuff that I think is silly, like when I call people bucket heads in traffic, because I don't know. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. So if I'm calling somebody a bucket head and they're a member of the body of Christ, the fact that they ain't walking around with a cease tattooed on their head or a bumper sticker telling me that is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. So the only thing I could do is do what the Bible says. Ask God for forgiveness. Again, yes, that allowing that spirit of gentleness to rule in my life. And it's some of us, it's a little more challenging than others. It's just, you know, believe me, it's some. Some people are just naturally nice. I admire them. I had to work at it. You know, I'm like a Hemi. I'm like a top fuel Hemi. You know, I don't have a low. I had to work at a low idle. I had to be almost out of fuel. I had to really be conscious of that. And I do that. I do that. Where I go, what do you say? Go near to listen. That's a key. Start out listening. You know, I remember my youngest son told me one day, and that really rang with me. He said, you don't listen. So you do. And a lot of times we be pressed for time or whatever the situation, and we don't have time to listen. But you know what? It is critical. So now you learn from that. And that's the biggest thing. You know, when you do an investigation and you're talking to somebody and you're interrogating them, you do a lot of listening. That's how they get caught up. All right. But see, you're seeing that over thousands of years, that this hasn't changed. It's still the same. What they say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. 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 And why? It's simple. We haven't changed. Mankind is still mankind. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, it said, be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosoms of fools. Don't have nothing good to say. It says, and going back to Proverbs 14:16, you don't have to turn back there. It says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. See, and again, you know, I watched the stuff going on down there in Florida with them kids. I doubted they had any serious justification. We had an incident here in Detroit where this man tried to smash a guy up against a building. You see, I've been on the other end when they do that craziness and they get caught. I was on a team that used to hunt them. When they would get the warrant, they'd come in our office, and our job was to go and hunt them down and bring them in. And they'd be so puppy-like when we come up on them. I mean, because we know if you're that crazy, we're not going to come light. We're not coming light. We're coming back in. Your people, your neighbors going to know, all right. But now, then all of a sudden, they got this little puppy dog, like, you know, you done tried to kill somebody, and they act like, you know, they just broke a flower in their yard. No. You treaded on God's territory, so he sent us after you. You know, I don't tell them that, but that's the real. So bottom line is the psychology of this mindset is consistent throughout history. And when you look at the characters in the Bible, you'll see those that practice it and the result, and you see those that don't practice it and the result. That's what you get in the book. When you're reading the Old Testament, the Book of Kings, look at them psychologically, as my pastor would say. Read it like a newspaper. Just read it. And look at what is going on. Look at how the characters are thinking and how distant they are or how close they are to God, and look at the results, because it's going to be the same. None of them demons back then have gotten old. We get old. They don't get old. They're the same. And they collect and remember the results of things they practice, they put up on people, and what happened. So, you know, you have to be conscious of that. See, you ain't been here 3,000 years. You ain't been here a minute, you know. Now, this is another good one. See, now, I'm trying to decide whether or not. Well, I want to read, this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm not reading about the rapture. But this is about behavior. Okay? Again, that pretty much almost all the Bible is about behavior, which tells you where our focus point has to be. All right? But in verse 1 Thessalonians verse 9, it says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, and be as we commanded them." Body lap, what I wanted, the key phrase in there was study to be quiet. Don't be, you know, I realize people have issues with their character. You know, some people are naturally loud. I mean, some people can't even whisper. But there's an underlying factor there that needs to be dealt with. Okay? Let's hear from the man himself, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, 22. Because, again, and I'm just going to read part of this. He said, "But I say unto you," well, let me read verse 21. "You have heard it was said unto them of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." All right. Now, there's more to that, but the point of the matter is, again, it's about behavioral, what they call it, behavioral management. That's what it is, you know, to become that which God would have us to be. And failure to do that, like I say, hinges on everything. And one of the things that help with that, see, like, I pray every day. I would say 95% of the time. You know, sometimes you're helped, sometimes you're tired, sometimes it just, well, sometimes during the day, every day, I do pray. I pray, but I generally will pray for an hour during the morning every day, or as many days as I can. I'd say six out of seven, I will get it done. And because I'm not praying for me, I actually have to remember to pray for me. This is what confession is about, too, but that's another issue. I have to remember because I realize what's going on in the world is a result of a lack of prayer. Not because humans are humans. Could they do what they do? Sinners do what they do. But God has tasked us to pray for them. And I'm praying. I start out praying for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible says. And then I'm praying for Russia, praying for the persecuted saints in India and China and in Japan and then in the Soviet bloc countries and on around. And I'm praying that the Pope be the first sanctified Pope in history. I mean, God can do the impossible, but it takes a lot. It takes us to get that done. It takes us, but going before God in that manner, one thing about God, you're not going to enter into his presence with something wrong and him not tell you to correct it. You want to learn to be, see, one of the things about praying consistently, worshiping consistently, God will let you know in your spirit, no. You got to deal with this. And you may not think it's not. See, we rate sin. Not with God. Sin is sin with him. You know, you may have just spoken to your child the wrong way. You don't know the relationship, really. From what I'm seeing with children, they could be closer to God. A lot of them are closer to God than their parents. And God takes a lot of, man, there's a lot of people that saved because of kids. It's a lot of people's lives were saved. I'm not talking about from sin, prevented from accidents, because kids take faith seriously. And if you offend them, Jesus said, if you offend one of them, it would be better for you to tie a millstone. Okay, let me give you, just imagine a round, big old round stone like a wheel that weighs about 2,000 pounds. He's saying, tie one of them around your neck and fall into the river. You'd be better off doing that than offending a child. Because like they have pure faith. I remember when I had my motorcycle accident, the first person I thought of that I wanted to come pray for me was this little girl that was in the kindergarten, Sunday school, full of faith. I mean, you told her she could pray for anybody, she wanted to pray for anybody. And it's sad that adulthood tends to kill that with kids. You know, and if you young folk, don't let them kill your faith. Anybody that did this showing you, not showing you gentleness, pray for them. Pray for them because they need help. Because, again, if they're giving you a hard time, they're giving God a hard time. And at some point in time, and particularly now, saints, you got to be mindful of the fact that these are the end of days and judgment and justice will be quicker. Judgment and justice will be quicker. You know what? I know people think that we got the COVID shots and that is not going to stop folks from dying at a rapid rate. I'm sorry. It is not. Because this is the issue. I'm not the only one. People closer to God are announcing, be prepared for something else. And I know one particular person, that ain't their forte to even enter into that type of conversation. They're always a here and now. Okay, and then God does things in two or three witnesses, when a man of God tell you to pray daily over your children by name, because that, listen, we in the last days, Satan know his time is short. You can read that in the book of Revelation. He know, and the one thing you have to understand about the book of Revelation, it'll go out in and out of thousands of years of history in two verses. So you really have to be careful with that book. But anyway, so I want you to just understand that gentleness is something you have to practice, especially if it's not natural for you. And then if it's areas, everybody had that area where they're not gentle. Like I say, you have parents that sometimes be overbearing on kids. And the Bible said, do not provoke your kids to wrath. But then you got some kids that got some serious issues. You got kids. Like I say, I've learned when you, I remember we had a young man and I understood he was thought of as just a troublesome child, and then they found out he had been raped by a priest. I mean, so that would make you a troubled child. Of course, you know, he wasn't like me. I would have stabbed the priest right afterward. It wouldn't have took another 10 years. I would have went after him. I mean, you know, some things I don't think you had a right to live, so I would have been right on that. See, so there's something in the character, but again, to get to those, a lot of people have shared things with me because of gentleness. You know, I've talked to homosexuals that were sexually abused. You know, they talked to me because they didn't have a fear of me saying something that would offend them. They really sensed I cared, and it provided the opportunity for me to tell them why they can go to God with that. Because people have basically labeled them as hopeless. Like, listen, a homosexual in God's book, let's read what it say. Let's just read it. I want people to get understanding because, see, people think James Bond, if James Bond was real when he died, you know, what's wrong with this phone? He'd bust hell wide open. Every time he never got married, and every time he looked up, he was sleeping with some other chick. You know, and then people and society make like, ooh, that's James Bond. He the guy. Now, well, let's see what God got to say. He said, matter of fact, I want to read this out of the NIV. I'm going to read both of them. I want you to get clarity. Now, mind you, I'm talking about the fact of how people treat, they try to discern different sins, but you can't communicate with anybody unless you have a gentle behavior. This is why Jesus, like I say, you notice it, the prostitutes, Mary Magdalene, came to him because of his gentleness, okay? He wasn't afraid of being condemned as the Pharisees, the woman caught in adultery. They didn't bring the man, okay? Gentleness covers a lot of territory, but you have to get in your mind, and when a situation arises, don't just say what's on your mind, because again, you have your thoughts, God has his thoughts, and the devil has his thoughts, okay? And you got to choose between God and the devil. He's saying, and out of the NIV, it said, do you not know that the wicked shall will not inherit the kingdom of God? Who is the wicked? Do not be deceived. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and they was kind of like Las Vegas, all right? Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, that's people that put things ahead of people, adulterers, okay? That's generally married people that's got more than relationships other than their wives. And the thing about that was so weird back then was they actually had more than one wife. So why would you want to mess with anyway? I don't know that, but the demons do that. They provoke people. Nor male prostitutes, okay? Nor homosexual offenders, okay? So nor thieves, that's most of your government officials, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards. Drunkards would be both alcohol and drugs. They had drugs back then. Drugs ain't a new thing. My research led me to find cocaine use back in 4003 BC. That's pretty much at the beginning, right after the flood, okay? Satan, the one who revealed all that stuff. That's where that came from. People say it's in the earth. I use it. But it's destroying part of your face. It's poisoning you. It's killing brain cells. They say they might be able to reproduce them now, but, you know, you're risking organ damage. And again, it's just so much. Man, time flew, and I'm having fun. And I really thought this gentleness was going to be, Holy Ghost just had a ball. Well, anyway, bottom line is, even though society is off the kilter, don't get caught up in it. As much as possible, practice being gentle. Practice when your money get miscounted at Burger King, not to speak angrily, even though you may have had a bad day. Make a good day. Giving somebody something good will make you feel good. So if you give somebody a good day, it'll make your bad day go away. Okay? But anyway, so like I say, gentleness should be a natural behavior for a Christian. You know, no matter what your character is on the natural, you can change it. I changed mine. You know, I used to like to fight. I mean, really. You know, I understand these people out here and they stuff. It's just an energy. I find other ways to expel energy. That's why I still roller skating. That's why I tell you what. You be gentle with your wife, and she'll help relax you. Praise the Lord. That's for married folks. That's for married folks. But anyway, all right. But now, in order to do this, you need an overriding power. I'm going to be serious, because if I didn't have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, there's no way my behavior, it probably would be modest, but it's a lot of things that I deal with, that I take, that I wouldn't. And I probably, with this environment that we're in right now, I probably would have gotten locked up, because people would say no. He come to try you. He send demons after you to see if you believe what you believe. And when I teach y'all something, just like he come and test you to see if you believe it, he does the same thing to me. So this is what you need to do to prepare yourself, because, see, I have an inner man. The Holy Ghost is a person, and he actually talks. He will tell you ahead of time. He'll tell you shut up before you even get near somebody, and then you'll find out why he says shut up. He's that kind, because he realized he's got the full picture. He's got everything. So for you to receive him right now, start out with this prayer. Say, Father God, Lord God in heaven, I believe you. I believe your son was born. I believe he died and rose again. And I believe he is the only Savior of mankind. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you that now I am your child. I am equipped with your promises. I am equipped with your word. And I believe you for my salvation. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Now, if you're a person that have been having issues with this, pray this with me. Father God, I thank you. I acknowledge that I have been wrathful and I have been wrong in doing so. And I ask you to bless me to be conscious, to be gentle in all my ways when it is necessary and pleasing to you. And I thank you for it, and I ask you to forgive me for my behavior in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, I hope I helped. But again, like I say, in this environment, you want to be close to God. You want to be able to command the power of angels at a given moment and not have to worry whether or not you're going to get an immediate answer. You want right now, if you're unemployed, to know that God is going to make a way, and the only person that can block that is you. The devil can't block it. Thus, he can trick you into a behavior that he can identify before God. The Bible calls him in Revelation chapter 12. He's the accuser of brethren day and night. So, with that, I'm going to remind you that prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. God bless you.
As American culture is secularizing, we have an opportunity for this to become much easier for us. The church is being disestablished from the rest of the community. It's already happened in some parts of the country. It's happening now.
The world is crazy. It's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy. They say we're out of our minds.
It's happening now everywhere.
There's something we're facing. I'm hoping you know. You know. And we can't escape it. It's everywhere. Every time, man, that I look over show.
Oh, no.
Some people are searching, they hurting, they're looking for purpose, but not in religion.
Oh, no.
They say it don't work, in particular Christians are using the church as a business.
They say
they're tired of the silence, they're turning to violence, some people just don't want to talk no more. The culture has shifted since Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York and in Baltimore. Look at Chicago with real music, youngins, they gunning and dying by the minute. Shout out to churches that's keeping the strength, being the witness and making a difference. Let's switch for a minute. Remember the case with Governor Pence in Indiana.
I know.
They challenge religious liberty, eventually putting our faith in the slum. The LGBT community collectively standing for discrimination over the sexual orientation. We can't afford to ignore what we face.
The world is crazy, it's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy, they say we're out of our minds.
50. The world's going 50-150. Can I get a win? Deep in the drink.
50-150.
The world's going 50-150. Can I get a win? Deep in the drink.
Double.
There are
applying the pressure, but keep in perspective.
Okay.
That we do not wrestle with people, but demons are scheming to reject the mess.
So
the kingdom of heaven progresses, so Satan's regime is extremely feels threat.
You know.
But for God and his wisdom to put us in this position, we should think it's a blessing.
We should.
We're tired of the statement that this is a Christian nation. Finally, that culture wall will fall.
Finally.
And the gospel will flourish, authentic conversions, all as a result of the culture war.
Finally.
That's why we connect with the people and help restrain evil through policy shifting. Christians who get it and socially driven. All cause we know it's a holistic mission.
So
now let's switch for a minute. We gotta consider that this is a post-Christian nation.
We know.
Or a pre-Christian nation. The point is to say that the people don't know where we stay. So we can't just be positive. Gotta give gospel reasons we believe in the faith. The biblical way that our conscience is shaped. With the kindness that backs up our articulation.
The world is crazy, it's all a sign of the times.
Time.
They think we crazy, they say we're out of our
minds. 51, 50, 51, 50, 51, 50, 51, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50,
50-150. The world's going 50-150. Did I get the wick? Deep in the drink.
We have the opportunity, as the culture secularizes around us and as the church becomes increasingly strange, to question ongoingly, how are we not reflecting the kingdom of God within our church structures? And then for our church structures to form the sorts of consciences that are able to speak to the outside about questions of the common good and public justice in a way that doesn't lead us inward and it doesn't lead us outward, but it leads us
forward.
That gives us the opportunity to maintain distinctiveness and engagement at the same time.